Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring, are robot friends awesome helpers or creepy companions? Join the Discovery Rangers debate on AI learning toys for kids. Educational, STEM, homeschool fun.
I want you to close your eyes for a second, if you can, and just imagine an environment that is freezing cold. Like, it is completely pitch black.
Right. Absolutely zero sunlight down there.
Exactly. There is no sunlight whatsoever. Now, imagine that this dark, freezing place makes up a whopping 90% of all the living space on our entire planet.
Which is just wild to think about.
It really is. 90% of the biosphere. And yet, we've only explored about 5% of it. We are, of course, talking about the deep ocean.
It's basically the ultimate frontier, you know? I mean, we actually have better higher resolution maps of the surface of the moon and Mars than we do of the very bottom of our own oceans.
Which is exactly why today's deep dive is so exciting. We are jumping into this fascinating report analyzing what's being called the Discovery Rangers debate.
Yeah, this is a huge one.
It's a massive, incredibly urgent question for the world today. Basically, should we strictly protect all these completely mysterious alien-like creatures living in the deep sea? Or, do we use the ocean floor to gather the materials we desperately need to build green technology?
Right, because we need those materials to stop using fossil fuels.
Yeah.
But it is this phenomenal environmental dilemma.
It really is.
Because we're looking at a scenario where saving our planet from climate change up here in the air, you know, it might require digging up a delicate ecosystem down there in the dark.
Yeah, it's like weighing one environmental crisis against another. And here is where it gets really interesting for you listening. Scientists are discovering the most bizarre, unimaginable life forms down there at the exact same time that human engineers are building giant underwater machines.
Yeah, it's a literal collision of, like, biology and heavy machinery. Both fields are just moving so fast.
So fast.
I mean, the technology to actually mine the ocean floor is becoming a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But our understanding of the animals that live down there is still, well, it's basically just starting.
Right. So to really understand what's at stake here for you and for the whole world, we have to kind of shine a flashlight into the dark. We need to look at what scientists literally just found down there.
Yeah, let's talk about the Clarion-Clipperton Zone. Or the CCZ.
The CCZ, right. It's this massive stretch of the Pacific Ocean between Hawaii and Mexico. And just to give you an idea of how much life is down there, the ocean holds up to 10 million different species.
It's packed with life. And in the CCZ alone, scientists have collected over 5,000 unique species that are entirely new to science.
5,000?
Yeah, they haven't even been given official names yet.
Well, reading the report, the stuff they found just last month, in March 2026, it's just staggering. Researchers found 24 brand new species of amphipods.
Which, for anyone wondering, those are like tiny, pale, shrimp-like creatures.
Real shrimp guys.
Yeah.
But they didn't just find a new species. They realized they had an entirely new evolutionary branch. They called it a new superfamily.
The Mirabestioidea superfamily, yeah.
Yeah, Mirabestioidea idea. And the report has this great analogy. Finding a whole new superfamily of animals, it's like discovering a group of animals as different from one another as a dog is from a bear.
Which is huge. I mean, a dog and a bear are so different. Finding that level of difference in these tiny deep sea shrimp tells us that the deep ocean isn't just an empty desert.
No, not at all.
It's this incredibly complex, highly evolved world.
And their bodies are so weird. Like, they survive thousands of meters underwater in crushing pressure and total darkness. Some of these newly discovered arthropods have these special spoon-like claws.
Oh, the mud-scooping claw.
Yes. Claws designed just for eating mud, which sounds gross, but...
But that mud is actually crucial. You might be wondering, you know, why does a microscopic mud-eating shrimp matter to the rest of the world?
Right. Why should we care?
Well, down there, food is really scarce. No sunlight means no plants. So these animals eat something called marine snow.
Marine snow. I love that term.
It's a nice name for what is basically drifting organic garbage. Dead microscopic organisms and waste that slowly float down from the surface and settle as this nutrient-rich mud.
So these tiny shrimp are basically the ocean's cleanup crew.
Exactly. They're the ultimate recyclers. They eat the mud, keep the ocean healthy, and they form the base of a food web that supports things like ancient deep-sea corals.
And those corals are amazing, right? They don't grow like the ones in sunny, shallow water.
No, these deep-sea ones grow incredibly slowly. Like, just a few millimeters a year. Some of them are hundreds or even thousands of years old.
Wow. And they provide homes for sponges and octopuses. And importantly, all of this acts as a giant carbon sponge, right?
Right. When marine life dies and sinks, or when that mud gets buried, it traps carbon at the bottom of the sea.
Which safely stores it away and helps fight climate change up here.
Absolutely. But it's a very fragile, slow system. If you disturb it, it doesn't just bounce back next year. A scar down there could last for thousands of years.
Okay, so if this deep underwater world is basically a fragile, super slow-growing garden full of unknown creatures, we have to ask the big question. Why are companies rushing to send heavy machinery down there?
Right. Well, it comes down to what is resting in that exact same mud. The deep ocean floor has these massive deposits of metals that we really need to build modern electronics.
Let's unpack that. Because they are targeting depths below 200 meters, and they are looking for three specific things, right? Let's start with the biggest one, polymetallic nodules.
Yes, polymetallic nodules. So poly means many, and metallic means metal.
Many metals, got it. And the report says they basically look like burnt potatoes sitting on the flat ocean floor.
That is exactly what they look like, just little black rocks scattered everywhere. But they are geological marvels. They literally absorb minerals from the seawater over time.
Just pulling it right out of the water.
Yep, layer by tiny layer around a piece of shell or maybe a shark tooth. And they grow about a few millimeters every million years.
Wait, really? A million years for a few millimeters?
Yeah. So a nodule the size of a potato took tens of millions of years to grow.
That is mind-blowing. And they are packed with valuable metals, right? Manganese, nickel, copper, and cobalt.
Exactly. Now, there are two other targets, too. Hydrothermal vents, which are basically underwater hot springs that build huge chimneys of minerals.
Okay. Underwater hot springs.
And then there are seamounts. These are giant underwater mountains covered in crusts of cobalt.
But out of those three, the companies really want those metal potatoes, the nodules, right?
Yeah, because they're just sitting there loose on the flat mud in the CCZ. Engineers think they'll be the easiest to get.
Okay, but let's be real here. How do we even get these rocks? We aren't sending scuba divers down with little plastic buckets.
Definitely not. The water pressure would crush a person instantly.
So what's the technology?
It's basically a giant robotic underwater vacuum cleaner.
A giant vacuum?
Yeah. These machines are the size of a two-story house. They drive on the ocean floor on tank treads, and they use super strong suction to vacuum up the nodules.
But wait, they can't just suck up the rocks. They have to suck up the mud, too, right?
Exactly. They suck up the nodules, the top layer of ocean mud, and tons of seawater. Then they pump it all up to a ship on the surface through a massive tube.
Oh, wow. So they bring it all the way up, separate the rocks from the mud, and then what?
Then they dump the leftover wastewater and sand straight back into the ocean.
Wow.
Now, no one is doing this commercially just yet, but they are already doing test runs.
Sucking up the ocean floor sounds pretty extreme. Which leads us directly into side A of this debate. Why do we need these specific rocks so badly right now?
It all comes down to green energy. We are trying to stop using fossil fuels like coal and gas, right?
Right, to stop climate change.
But to do that, we need millions of electric cars, massive batteries for solar panels, and wind turbines. And those require a ton of metal. The demand for these battery metals is expected to double by the year 2040.
Double. Wow. And the current way we get those metals, which is mining on land, that is getting really difficult and causes huge problems.
It really does. Land mining means chopping down massive rainforests.
Right.
It creates toxic pollution that can get into drinking water, and it often forces people out of their homes.
So basically, to fix the environment up here in the sunlight, some people believe we need to borrow from the environment down there in the dark.
That's the argument.
Yeah.
Companies like the metals company say ocean mining could produce 70% less carbon dioxide than land mining.
70% less, because they don't have to cut down trees or blast through solid rock.
Exactly. The rocks are just sitting there.
Yeah.
Plus, they claim it creates zero solid waste on land. No toxic dumps near villages.
And there's an organization, the International Seabed Authority, or IS, trying to make sure that if we do this, the money and jobs are shared with the whole world, not just a few rich companies.
Right. And there are enough nodules in just the CCZ alone to build hundreds of millions of electric car batteries.
So Side A says this is a necessary trade-off. We have a climate emergency right now, and deep sea mining might be the lesser of two evils.
That's their view, yeah. We need the metals to save the atmosphere.
But every action has a reaction. If we turn on these giant ocean vacuums, what exactly happens to all those newly discovered shrimp creatures and the ancient corals?
And that is side B of the debate. Marine biologists are warning that the environmental risks are massive.
Yeah, the report mentions a huge study from December 2025. They checked the CCZ after a test mining run, and they found that the number of animals dropped by 37%.
And the variety of different species went down by 32%.
That's a huge loss just from a test.
It is, because that giant vacuum, it removes the top 5 centimeters of ocean mud. And that exact 5 centimeters is where almost everything lives.
The sea spiders, the worms, our little mud-eating shrimp.
Exactly. You're completely removing their home. And then there are the plumes.
Oh, right. The giant underwater dust clouds.
Yeah, when the machine drives around and the ship dumps the mud back, it makes these huge clouds of dirt that drift for miles. It literally chokes the animals that filter the water for food.
Oh.
And don't forget the noise. The deep ocean is totally dark and usually very quiet. Bringing in bright lights and roaring machines completely confuses dolphins and whales.
Because they use sound to talk and find their way around, right?
Exactly. And the most worrying part is the carbon.
Right. The carbon paradox. We said the ocean mud stores carbon. If we churn it all up with giant vacuums, scientists are worried it could release that carbon back into the ocean.
Which could eventually reach the air and actually make climate change worse.
Wow. So trying to fix climate change could cause more climate change.
Which is why over 700 scientists are calling for a strict pause on ocean mining right now.
But wait, if we pause ocean mining and land mining is so bad, how do we get the batteries we need?
Well, scientists say we might not actually need to mine the ocean at all. We could just get much better at recycling the batteries we already have.
Ah, recycling.
Yeah, if we do it right, we could cut our need for new copper and nickel by 40% by 2050.
That's a lot. And aren't people inventing new batteries too?
Yes. Things like lithium iron phosphate batteries, which basically means a battery made from everyday stuff that doesn't even use cobalt or nickel.
Oh, well, that solves a big piece of the puzzle.
Can we could just build better public transit so fewer people need huge electric cars in the first place?
So what does this all mean for us? We are talking about destroying creatures we haven't even named yet. Is it worth digging up a garden if we don't even know what flowers we are crushing?
That's the big question. It's an open-ended debate. The ocean floor is definitely a treasure chest. But the treasure you value depends on who you ask.
Right. For some people, the treasure is the battery metals. We need to stop climate change right now.
And for others, the treasure is the incredible, undiscovered life forms swimming in the dark and keeping the ocean healthy for the future.
It's a huge choice. And making good choices means looking really closely at both sides. The cool green technology and the serious warnings from the marine scientists.
Absolutely. The ocean is a shared home for all life on Earth.
So, to you listening, consider yourself an honorary discovery ranger. We want you to keep learning, keep sharing these facts, and keep thinking about how humans can balance what we need with protecting nature.
It's all about thinking critically.
Exactly. And I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. Imagine you grow up to be an inventor.
Okay, picture this.
If you had the choice, would you spend your time designing a submarine that can safely gather rocks from the deep ocean without hurting anything? Or would you try to invent a brand new battery made out of everyday materials so we never have to touch the ocean floor at all?
That's a great question.
The future is entirely up to you. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.